Good evening and welcome to your Wee Days video, and a very warm welcome to Daniel. Welcome back, Daniel, from across the rivers.
Thank you, mate. Hopefully it's gone smoothly.
That's all right. So we were talking, of course, about Trampoline Band. What an amazing band, eh? And they haven't got the recognition they deserve, have they?
No, definitely not. They should be headlining their own gigs in whatever venue they want. They're that good. And they're even better live. Like, they're definitely one of those I think you have to see live.
Yeah, I suppose being able to perform in front of six and still sound like you're performing in front of 100,000, that's a talent, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's something that we've always like aimed for, being a good live act as well as like in the studio and whatnot. I think is a big part of it. Like, that's where you can gain so many fans and where people like start to take notice of you as a band. So I think the live side is more than important.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, between yourself and the band, what's your inspiration to make music? Who's your inspiration?
I guess like individually, we got like quite a wide scape view on it. Like, I'm into like the early 2000s indie, like the Strokes and the Killers and the Arctics when they were coming through. Our bassist is like very like psychedelic. He's very like 60s and 70s. And then our drummer's very like hip hop inspired. So I guess we got like a wide range, but like it all comes together and I think everyone like stamps their own thing on it. So, but you know, it's not like a bad thing to have it's quite good having a wide range of influences. You can, you know, pick through multiple and try and rip more people off than you could if you just like the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, it comes across. I mean, your music's certainly maturing, and it's certainly pleasing on the ear. What's the creative process like when you're in the studio?
In the studio, it was dead easy. We'd probably rehearsed the songs like a week before. We went in just to make sure like we had them all down and everything sorted, and then I think we recorded EP in like 4 days. Or I think it was 4 days recording, 1 day mixing, or maybe 5 days recording, 1 day mixing. But yeah, it was done in like a week or so. And yeah, it's dead simple. Just we like knew what we wanted and that. So, you know, it was pretty easy.
Yeah, COVID for some people has been a bit of a bonus, really. It's allowed the writers to write, and a lot of the bands have come out swinging. Have you found COVID the same? It gave you time to read and write on new lyrics and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, for us, like, we already had the second one written before, like, the first lockdown. But it's definitely, I've gone back to that, and, like, we've changed, like, songs in and out because, obviously, I've written new ones during lockdown. And so it's definitely been good for that sense, but it would have been nice to have this year, like, spent recording and gigging more. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. And, of course, there's a lot of places closing back down again.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of cancellations coming because it's obvious he's going to extend it to another 4 weeks, isn't he? Which, of course, it's going to be hard for musicians.
Definitely, yeah. But it's like the people that own the venues and like the independent people like that, and like the bands that have like stage crew, and like we're lucky in that sense, like we don't have anyone like that, but I know like a few people that do have like stage crew and roadies to look after, and they've just had no work for like 18 months or so. I've, you know, the quicker things open back up, the better it'd be for everyone.
Of course, I mean, and what's the time? Is this the busiest time for festivals, summertime and all that, especially for artists like yourself? I'm guessing summer through to autumn is your busiest time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's when everyone's booking has festivals booked and you know, yeah, like you said, like the busiest time for gigs, big gigs like that, and it's all just come to a halt. And it's also like the stuff that then they manage to rearrange but then have to be pushed back even further, like that also has like a hit because everyone thought they'd be back. And I know, you know, we had some gigs booked for like around this time, and I know other people did as well, and they've had to be like pushed back. So it just, you know, it never seems to end.
Yeah, it's brutal. Is there anyone you'd like to collaborate with in the future? Have you seen anyone you think, oh, we'll mind a little collaboration with them?
Oh, there's just probably loads. Mike Skinner.
I'm guessing the trampolines, eh?
Oh, definitely. I've 100%. I'd like to do something with them if it was like writing or like a gig or yeah. I'd love to do something with them. Mike Skinner from the Streets. I'd think yeah. The Rivers, the Streets mashup would be good. I'd love that.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, there's loads of people. Even if it's I don't know, like if it would be there's loads of bands that like I'd love to gig with and but yeah, there's I guess there's some even some like local ones, like there's a band from Cardiff called the Rotanas. And I'd love to like do some writing with him and do gigs with him for sure.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out. That sounds brilliant. I mean, obviously, I don't know them. I'll have to check them out. It'd be great to hear from them as well. Maybe get them on the podcast and all, a little chat
yeah,
with them.
Definitely.
See, if you could open a show for any artist, who would you like to open up for and why?
Oh, I'd say there's probably two. If Oasis ever reformed, I'd like to be on that slot just because
yeah,
you know, they're the band that started it all. And that'd be a wild after party, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. One of them you go out Friday and you wake up Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'd pick them just for the after party alone, to be honest. We don't even have to play. We can just carry their guitars in or something. And then I'd probably say Catfish and the Bottlemen. I'd like to open up for them. They're like probably one of my favourite live bands at the minute and have been for a while. So to open up for them would be great.
Yeah, they're awesome. I really like them. They're absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for music, Daniel, what would you be doing now?
Oh, I honestly don't know. Probably
working as a roadie for Oasis.
Yeah, probably. It would definitely be music related, I think. I'd try and sneak my way in there. Or maybe like a tribute band.
Yeah, wow, well, yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them about. There's some real good ones as well. You know, I've seen some real beauties.
Yeah, I've seen loads. I know a pub local to me puts on like its own covers festival once a year, and I think a few years ago they had a really good Queen tribute band. They were insanely good.
I saw the Australian Pink Floyd.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they were amazing, Daniel. Honestly, I've never seen it like it. I mean, it was just the stage show was amazing.
Yeah, as I think I had a mate went to them, and I think they played Cardiff somewhere, the Globe. I think. Yeah.
Definitely worth a shout, Daniel. If you get a chance to see them, I definitely recommend them.
Yeah, I have to go down.
So, where have you performed live, and what's been your best venue so far?
Best venue, I like playing down in Swansea. There's a venue called the Bunkhouse. I love playing there. There's always like a good atmosphere, and like the sound's always top quality. We played recently, it was like our first gig back in well over a year, and we played Bristol in the Louisiana, and I didn't realise like how many bands had played there before like I went in, but they've got like all like the posters up, and like Coldplay have been there, like Bring the Horizon. Pretty much the lady said like the only band they haven't had was probably Oasis, like in their day. Like loads of big bands now started out there and supported people there. So that was a good one to play just because of who else has like gone before there.
Historical, yeah. Did you feel it when you got in there? When you walked in there, could you feel the history of the place?
I definitely could after I saw that wall of the wall of posters. Like when we were like driving up and when I first got there, it, you know, it felt like another gig. And then when you see that, it's like, oh, okay, this is like a proper place. Like you wouldn't think it was one of them, like you wouldn't think it if you just like looked at the outside, and but like you step in there and it's like a proper venue.
Wow, sounds I like a place. That's the kind of places I like. What can we expect in the future, and what you're working on, and do you have any plans to tour? I mean, obviously putting COVID aside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're booked in the studio for July, so we'll be working on the second EP, hoping for a single release October time. We've got a gig with This Feeling down in Cardiff in November. That's probably the biggest one to plug. We had a few gigs in Ireland booked for April last year when COVID hit.
Wow.
So we were gutted that we couldn't get there, but we're trying to reschedule that because that'd be a good one. I'd love to go to Ireland, and you know, to be there and play is like even better than just going on holiday. So
yeah, they love their music as well. They absolutely love it. So, do you guys have any merchandise, or is there any? How do people get in touch with you to get tickets and stuff like that?
Yeah, we do. If you probably our Instagram is the best place, which is therivers_UK, and then there's a link in that bio to our merch and tickets and everything like that. So, yeah, we're on everything these days. You've got to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Sadly, social media is like a big part of the game, I guess. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. How do you feel social media has impacted in music, and particularly in your band?
I mean, it's probably, I mean, it rivals music as the, you know, as the biggest thing to get right, I guess. I mean, it's helped during like lockdown because, you know, you get exposure that way and, you know, post clips online and stuff like that. But I mean, to keep on top of the social media side is one of the most important things you can do. Sadly, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of them. You've got to do it, although at times you wish you didn't have to, because sometimes it can be a complete pain in the neck. I mean, believe it or not, it's one of the. I mean, social media is now a bigger commodity than gold and silver. It's madness, isn't it?
It is mad. But you know, when you do it right, and there are people that smash the social media game, and you don't really need to have good tunes. So, you know, and fair play to them.
Yeah, fair play indeed. I always ask this, digital, vinyl or CD?
Personally, there's nothing better than having a vinyl.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about, like, accessibility, then digital probably wins it.
Yeah, but, it's a killer, innit?
Yeah. We were looking into doing, like, vinyl runs, but I think the cost it would be to make, and I think, you know, how many you'd sell, I think it makes it almost impossible. But maybe something in the future that we'll look at.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's very expensive, but, you know, like you say, it's, you know, digital's an easy access, cheap, and because it hits the whole world, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think Brazil is like our third most streamed country, which would never happen.
Wow.
So, you know,
I guess. Yeah, there you go. There's a tour waiting to happen, a tour to Brazil.
Yeah, the tour of the favelas.
Do you still feel radio is an important outlet considering all the musical platforms that are available?
I definitely do. I remember when we got one of our songs got on the BBC introducing, and it still felt, you know, like surreal hearing it on radio, even though I guess, you know, music is so common, like online and stuff like that. But it, you know, we still got a buzz hearing it on the radio. So I still think it's important. I've found like many a band while the radio's been on and something's just popped up. So yeah, I still think it has its place, you know.
I agree. I mean, the thing about the radio is the unpredictability. You just don't know what the DJ is going to play next. And if he's playing your song, that means, you know, he likes it. He actually likes it.
Yeah, fully. Exactly. Which is why, like, it was like such a big thing, because I guess it justifies like the hard work you put in, and it's on a platform that, you know, people respect and, you know, look forward to.
Absolutely. Look, all your songs, what's your favourite song to perform?
Probably what will be the next single. It's a song called Cool. At the minute, that's probably my favorite. But
did it blow you away?
Off the EP, probably realise is my favourite to play at the minute. Yeah. It changes constantly.
Yeah, I like your lights. I really like that. When you were first in, that first time you went into the studio and recorded your first single and it was played back to you, what was that wow moment like?
Yeah, it was insane hearing it over the desk on like speakers that we couldn't afford if we tried.
It was, same here, mate, don't worry.
Yeah, it was definitely a change from us listening to recordings back that we've taken from our rehearsal room on like our phone. It was definitely a big step up from that, and yeah, just like a surreal thing, I guess, when you're first recording like your songs and you hear it out through speakers and turned up to 11.
Blasting away thinking, yes, yeah. <That's how I'm...
laughs> class.
Open the windows. What's been the best advice you've ever been given and by whom?
I think I can't remember who it was that told me, but it was just to say yes to every opportunity, and that's something that like I've told like bands that talk to me about it. If you know, if someone offers you a gig, just say yes, even if it's not the most attractive offer. You know, and even if it's for nothing, like we spent a lot of time, like until very recently, just doing gigs for nothing, just because it's what you got to do, and it's, you know, playing live is like the best thing about it. So, just to say yes to every opportunity, and like stuff like this, like podcasts, and anyone that wants to talk to you about, you know, anyone who wants to take the time out of their day to talk to you about your band is, you know, is a valuable part of like promo and everything like that. So yeah, just to say yes to everything, I guess.
Brilliant. I like that. Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy chatting to guys like you. I think he's had a difficult time, but he's all come out swinging, you know, and the music's getting better, you know. And I think right now, I think people might not realise it, but the UK music scene is alive. It is alive. It is blowing the world away.
Yeah, there's so many bands, like, from like every level. There's like, you've got the upcoming bands that are on the verge of making it big. You've got the ones that, you know, are making it big and they're going to blow up when gigs come back. There's so many bands in the UK at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gone crazy. It's wild. If there was one message you'd give to your fans, what would that message be?
Probably to buy a t-shirt so we can all afford to eat next week.
Straight to it.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, just spend your money. We want your bloody money. Just give us your bloody money.
I'd love to give some inspirational message in that, but at the end of the day, it's the t-shirt sales that keep us breathing. So
there you are, guys. If you're listening, stop listening. Get on the internet, get over to the Rivers website, and get yourself ordering some t-shirts. The guys are fed up of beans on toast. Exactly. Let's give them spaghetti with sausages tonight.
Yeah, we'd love some cheese on that beans on toast.
Well, don't push it, huh? Do you have any useless talents, Daniel? I've had guys on here that can, you know, do impersonations of Family Guy cats. And one guy who could dislocate his shoulder just randomly. Oh, yeah, randomly dislocate it. I was like, well, if you could do that, I'd be in a hotel in Vegas and I'd be going in to check in. I would, honestly, I'd be walking up to check in, just about to check in. I'd bump into something, I'd be rolling about the floor in agony. I guarantee I'd be getting an upgrade.
Yeah. Same, yeah. I don't think I do. It's probably one of them, like, I'll say no now, and then, like, in a few hours' time, I think, oh, that's one I could have said. But I don't think I do.
So I know everyone does. You know, I've got new talents whatsoever. The only talent I've got was avoiding school when I was younger. Apparently, I was really good at it, so good at it that I forgot who I was. I was like the Invisible Man.
That's a good talent to have.
I think so, yeah. So I was incognito quite a lot during school. What's the most embarrassing thing to happen to you, and have you got yourself into a little bit of trouble because of it?
In a band sense or just a life sense?
Just in general.
Oh. No. There's probably been I mean, every minute of every day, I guess I could argue is. Give any.
Come on, Daniel, let it out. This is like therapy.
It really is, yeah.
Trauma therapy.
I think there's just that many that I can't put my finger on one. I definitely don't think any embarrassing moment has ever caused any trouble.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that anyway.
You've been a good boy, Daniel. That's what you're saying. You're a good lad. I like that.
Sweet, innocent boy, me.
Yeah. We'll say about after 10 beers or so, and you're holding with your pals in Magaluf or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Instagram profile would tell a different story then.
maybe, yeah. Maybe on like the tagged photos section, yeah.
Absolutely. There's always a joker in the pack. Who's the joker in your pack? Who's the one in the band that you just can't turn your back on because he'll pull some stunt?
That would probably be Evan, our bassist. And sometimes not intentionally. He's just funny. I was going to say he's just funny to laugh at, but that sounds mean. But he is just funny to laugh at sometimes.
He's just one of them. You just look at him and go, you know what, mate? I don't want to see your face. I just want to laugh. It's something personal about you, make me laugh.
He doesn't even have to say anything particularly funny, but it will just be funny just because it's him.
You know he's going to listen to this and then get it. What are you saying? I'm a comedian. Am I a clown? I'm here to amuse you. I'm some kind of clown.
It's fine. I just won't send him this link. It's fine.
He's got a good fella's link in it there straight away. There we go. If you could change anything in the music industry, Daniel, what would you change and why?
I'd probably make guitar music more popular, because people always say that like guitar music's dead and that it's not, but it's dead. It's just not in the mainstream as much as like these, you know, singers that mime on top of backing tracks and that. So I'd turn the tables. I'd make guitar music in the charts and
yeah,
all the more of it, TikTok singers can. So
we don't say that one down here. TikTok's banned. Yeah, that's your way forward, Dan. If it all goes wrong, stick a bit of TikTok pants on and dance around the room. Yeah. You'll be a TikTok superstar.
I have seen a lot of bands get into it recently, and part of me thinks, oh, should I do it? I think I couldn't do it.
Don't do it, Daniel. Don't do it. I have trolled it. I have tried to see if there's anything decent on there musician wise, and it's just the same stuff. Girls prancing about in TikTok pants and blokes with their tops off, tell them how great they are.
That's what I do. I'd make myself look good in TikTok pants.
Yeah, mate, do you know what? That's a talent. There you go. No matter what size of TikTok pants I put on, I would not look good in them. That's I'm afraid I'm damned from TikTok pants.
Oh, I don't know. There's something for everyone.
I always ask us. You've just done a massive gig in Las Vegas and your lads are waiting for you at the bar and you're coming down the lift and the lift stops. Yeah. Who would you least want to be stuck in the lift with and why?
could it be anyone?
Yeah, anyone you want, mate. Anyone rich, famous, live, dead?
Anyone from the 1975.
And why?
I'm just not a fan, and the annoying thing is people keep telling me that I should be a fan. Many a time, like people have said, "Oh, you should like, you know, these seem like the type of band that you're like," and I can't stand them. It's just not.
That would definitely not be an enjoyable time. You're stuck in a lift.
No. Although, you know, it could bring us together.
Yeah. Daniel, you don't sound overly confident about that, to be honest. I can't imagine there's a... In fact, I can imagine you in a white vest climbing out and doing a Bruce Willis moment and just lighting a little lighter up and climbing through shafts and letting over here. There's got to be a way out of here.
Yeah, I would find a way. Yeah, for sure.
If you could invite anybody to dinner and have a conversation with, who would you like and why?
Ooh, probably a generic one, but I'll say John Lennon.
Yeah.
I reckon he's an interesting person. I'd like to chat with him.
Yeah, I think you'd be, I mean, you're talking to an absolute genius, aren't you? I mean, I'd probably have to sit in there. I'd probably have to say, pass the salt, please, John. You know what I mean? That'd be all I could come out with. Pass the salt, please, John. Don't eat your mouth full. This is your chance to thank those that don't usually get the recognition deserved. If there's anyone you'd like to thank that perhaps doesn't get the recognition all the time, this is their moment. Who would you like to thank?
Oh, I'd like to thank the people that have been working the bar when I've recently been out, because they've been busy and they definitely don't get the thanks, and they get shouted at for the littlest of things. If they've forgotten something, a tiny thing, and they get hurled abuse at. So yeah, just anyone working in bar work, I guess, or retail in general for this tough time.
Absolutely, bro. You know, that's fair. Yeah, those in retail as well. Well done, you. You know, but I'm just thinking right now, I can imagine your mum and dad are just giving it, I beg your pardon, young man.
They don't.
How have family supported you? How has it been for support through all this with your family?
Oh, massively. I mean, if it wasn't for my mother, like, I wouldn't have been able to get to half of, like, the early gigs and that. So, yeah, like, if a huge part of it is family led for sure, and I'm sure they're responsible for a lot of the streams on the songs as well. So, you know, can't argue with it.
Big up Daniel's family. Keep it going. Keep them streams going. Don't forget, this is what keeps the band alive. Them streams, you know, that's what it is. Well, look, Daniel, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I have to say, I thoroughly enjoy the music. Would you like to introduce your latest single?
Yeah, so our latest single, it's going to be called Cool. And buy it when it comes out. And buy a T-shirt as well.
Yeah, get yourself a T-shirt. I'm Dennis Dillon. This is the Weird Days Radio. I've been chatting to Daniel from Across the Rivers. And this is the latest hit.
We are the Rivers. This song's called Cool. Take me into your arms.